Hi, you're listening to Habits into Health, and this is Michael Ann Conley, your host. Habits into Health programs, and that includes this podcast, are all about helping you become healthier and happier by changing problem behaviors into healthy habits. In today's show, we're going to summarize the key points in a whole series of podcasts on HALT, which stands for Hungry, Angry, Lonely, and Tired. And, in the last episode on social jet lag, I invited you to practice protecting your sleep time, and that means going to bed earlier and noticing what happens to your waking cycle. And I wonder how that worked for you. Did you learn anything new? Or just remind yourself about things you already knew? If you have any questions or comments, you can come on to the website at habitsintohealth.com and let me know. And you can keep your comment anonymous, or you can ask me not to post it at all, or you can post your name too. That's just fine. You get to decide. You know, the days when we are really motivated to change ourselves aren't usually a problem, are they? Where we get caught are on the days when we're not at our best. And using the HALT metaphor, that means those days when we're not eating the food that nourishes the most, when we allow ourselves to get stirred up with angry emotions, when we pull away from the support of others, and when we don't get sufficient rest to help us make the best decisions. But it's not always that simple. And so in today's show, we'll talk a little bit more about that. In the last month or so, we've been tapping into the HALT process to support you in turning around those problem habits more successfully. And today we're going to review what HALT has to offer and how to best support yourself in HALTing. Before we discuss our topic, though, let's tune in to our sensory experience. This is our regular feature in Habits into Health because we say let your body lead so your mind doesn't have to. This is a chance to take a moment, step back from thinking about, and step into being with. You can apply these practices to any habit, or actually to any aspect of your life. And that's because all of human experience involves growing our capacity to self-regulate. You self-regulate every time you go to the bathroom, eat a meal, contain an angry thought instead of spitting it out, go to sleep and wake back up. So many aspects of our existence involve processes that have become so routine we don't pay them much attention, at least not until problems show up. Self-regulation involves action. And action starts at the smallest level before thought. So in each exercise, I invite you to take a few minutes to be attentive to what's going on physically and to tap into this inner level of bodily experience, which is the basis for any change of behavior. And in these exercises, I offer suggestions. You're free to follow in whatever way works for you. I just suggest that you do this as a discipline so that you can come to recognize what your baseline is. And from there, you can experiment. And I do invite you to let me know about your experiences at the website because your feedback's important. Let's try today's practice. I invite you to first start by not changing anything just now. It's kind of tempting when someone calls an aspect of our experience to our attention to make adjustments. And because this show is all about learning, I encourage you to not immediately make those adjustments. Say to increase your comfort level or to stop an ache or a pain or just movement. But just for a moment, at least at first, the practice is to be attentive to what's going on without trying to correct what is. Think of it as being with what is, not trying to fix what is. The act of trying to correct something may come from a bias that something is wrong. And what is can't be right or wrong. It just is. So allow your attention to go now to your jaw. This is it's a key area most of us use a lot during the day. Your jaw helps you chew your food. It helps give shape to your lips and creates a part of the container for eating. It holds your teeth. Those are important tools for eating. And it's also a common place for many people to hold or show stress. So notice now how you're holding your jaw. You're the only one who can know what your own experience is, because even if others notice something, they're not able to read your mind and know what's going on with you right now that only you are experiencing. Be aware of the sensation of your teeth in your jaw. You might, in this moment, take your tongue and let it roll around between your teeth and your lips. Let your tongue be a traveler that understands its world by touch and even by temperature or moisture. Let your tongue visit your upper palate and the lower jaw as well. And now, with your mouth closed, drop your jaw, moving in the direction of your chest. So if you're sitting or standing, you would let gravity pull your jaw in a downward direction. But if you're lying down in any way, then dropping your jaw toward your chest may or may not involve letting gravity pull you at all. Just let yourself breathe and notice the feeling in your jaw as it drops. And then if you want to, you can just gently let your mouth open and notice if your jaw continues its descent or remains where it was. And you might notice here any feedback that's related to temperature, moisture, or tension, the kind of tension when a muscle feels tight. Let's check those out. So temperature, it's pretty likely you have one, since if you didn't, you wouldn't be alive and listening to the show. But temperature fluctuations are automatic self-regulation in most cases. So just notice, are you feeling warm or hot on one end, or cool or cold on the other, or somewhere in between? And maybe you feel differently in your jaw and your mouth than you do in other parts of you. Now, I also like to put moisture on a continuum, and it may seem like a no-brainer because the mouth and the jaw that holds it is always moist relative to other parts of your body. The inside of your mouth, however, it could feel dry with very little saliva, or very wet with a great deal of saliva. And many people, for instance, feel a quality of dry mouth when they take pharmaceutical medications, while others hardly notice anything at all. And last, with tension, put your attention on tension, which is a continuum between how tight your jaw feels on the one side, how restricted, or how loose and easy you feel. Thinking of these questions is what we all call mental, but being with them is physical. What is your physical experience right now? How has this fluctuated or changed just in the last few moments? Be aware that if you don't recognize much, that's okay. This is very common. Most of us have been so trained to put our mental activity at the forefront, even as we go about our everyday life, you know, walking around, sitting, standing, reading, using the computer. And we've learned, unfortunately, to only notice our physical selves when we feel discomfort or pain. And it takes practice to awaken to our physicality from a place of presence rather than pain. So just notice how you're in your jaw right now. And we'll continue on to our topic. I always like to do a little episode ID. So you're listening to Habits Into Health, and I am Michael Ann Conley. I host this podcast, and I invite you to visit habitsintohealth.com, where you can comment anonymously or publicly about a specific podcast. We've had a whole series of podcasts on various aspects of HALT recently, and you can find them or other topics on the podcast menu. And you can also subscribe to the latest updates or click links to follow Habits Into Health programs on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. You know, if you want to discover ways to soften a problem habit so it doesn't control you, then click the link on the website to ask for a free assessment questionnaire, and we'll get that out to you quickly. Let's talk about our topic. When it comes to HALT, which is a gentle reminder not to become too hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, it may not be as simple as eating healthy foods, checking your anger at the door, developing support systems so you're not isolated, and getting enough rest. Those are important, but they could be the least of it. And if you find that your experiences of these four factors is persistent, it's possible you have something physical going on that you haven't looked at. Dan Stradford, who is the founder of Safe Harbor, wrote me that most people have no or even a little idea that their mental and emotional conditions have a physical component. People rise above many challenges they experience in childhood, he says, and I'm going to quote him, but a low thyroid, chronic fatigue, hypoglycemia, food allergies, etc., can weaken them, causing these old feelings to once again seem real. Dan started Safe Harbor as a place where people dealing with psychological problems could have options that weren't available to his father. His dad was a World War II veteran, and he was a friendly guy, but then he had what was then called a nervous breakdown, and the treatment methods that Dan saw changed his father's memory and his ability to take care of himself or his family for the rest of his life. So Safe Harbor supports people who want non-pharmaceutical options and support for mental illness. I've posted a link to Safe Harbor on the Habits Into Health website. That's, again, habitsintohealth.com. In previous episodes, we've explored how eating foods with a lot of sugar actually affects the immune system, but it also affects mood, and it affects hunger cycle. It can have an impact on depression, and it has an effect on fatigue. So you might want to revisit my interview with diet and mood specialist Julia Ross on how sugar affects the body so that poor dietary choices become a result. And so then you've got a vicious cycle going on. I will post a link to episode 19 on the website at habitsintohealth.com. You can also listen to episode 21, in which I talk about sugar more specifically. I'll post the link to Dr. Robert Lustig's famous lecture on sugar's toxicity to the body. Now, with anger, particularly, if that's a frequent problem for you, maybe you're not just a jerk. You could be dealing with trauma in your history that has hidden physical consequences, like a brain injury that results from a concussion or a medical condition. So don't be afraid to seek evaluation for a neurological problem that might be going on. If you learn that your situation is physical, then it can be dealt with. But if it's primarily a result of communication or self-awareness skills or self-esteem, then try the Habits Into Health framework, because this can help you reduce stress and reactivity. My point here is it's possible that being hungry, angry, lonely, and or tired is a simple signal to slow down and refocus so that you can stay on target with your habit change goals, you can stay committed in your recovery from an addiction, or you can just maintain your desires for personal growth. But it's also possible that if you are persistently set off course, then the symptoms of hunger, anger, loneliness, and or tiredness could be telling you there's something beneath the surface to look at on a medical or a physiological level. Regardless, so many people are discovering that the acronym of HALT is a great self-caring reminder about signals that are destabilizing your commitment to change. And I support you in maintaining your recovery. So I support you in really using HALT as an important signal to be attentive to. In Habits Into Health, we start small and we encourage kindness. If you want to know more, visit habitsintohealth.com and ask me for that self-assessment questionnaire so that you can really start looking at how this is for you. This is Michael Ann Conley, and you have been listening to Habits Into Health. I support you in turning your old habits around into healthy possibilities for your future. Thanks for joining me.